Elisa, we are here. Hello.
Hi, Max.
And you are doing chapter 23.
I'm doing chapter 23.
Do your thing.
As Chris contemplated in horror the continental breakfast before her, Mr. Powell appeared at the door, martini glass in hand. Vermouth, he asked his wife. Mrs. Powell poured cold goo on Lindy's plate in an attempt to divert attention from her father. But Chris hadn't grown up in an alcoholic house without learning a thing or two. Vermouth? Look under the sink, behind the rat poison. Chris knew that her dad had a heart of gold, but a liver that was more grayish. Can I take the van since Dad's hammered? I'm not hammered, but my head has been compressed into tiny camel toes, Mr. Powell said, entering the kitchen and then falling out the open window. Please, someone, roll me over. See you next fall. Chris supplied the comedy relief, but no physical relief. Huh? He was his daughter Lindy's father. I said, can I take the van, please? Her dad's eyes seemed far away, and the dummy's eyes seemed to be coming right at her. Can someone give me a hand? He prayed that nobody was shooting rabbits in the backyard. You got yourself out the window, so I think you can get yourself back in, Chris said, thinking fast and using the old parental wisdom back at her father. I don't think I'm getting up anytime soon, her dad replied. But hey, it's Saturday. I don't have to go to work, do I? The dummy burped. But he might as well have tiptoed through the tulips, screaming, Munster cheese, for all her parents noticed. Did you guys notice a slight drop in the air pressure? Chris asked in the persona of a box kite. Before her dad could pull himself up, Mrs. Powell's self reappeared in the kitchen doorway. Listen, she said, laying out some lava chips on the kitchen counter. We're leaving before this planet runs out of water. Mr. Powell emphasized that it would take a crane to get him to the car. Why do you bother us with questions? He asked. It's my eco-librarian training, Chris began, but it was no use. They never listened, and they didn't know who Robert Creeley was. Nothing, it's not important, she murmured. A second later, she could hear car doors slam and then screeching, as if the gods had decided to attack the garage. She had so had it with her parents. And then she realized that she was alone in the kitchen with a dummy who wasn't right in the head. Mr. Madera was soldering his capacitors when he turned a silly grin to Chris. His bug-eyed eyes were still in his clavicles, but they were also still staring at Chris. It's the lesbian adventurer! That Madero never chilled out. Barky trotted into the kitchen, making a rude noise with his paws and then pissing on the linoleum. He must have been urinating a long time because he was reading a book about life, the life and death of Jimmy Durante. Barky, where are we supposed to piss? Chris asked, content to bust the terrier's balls. The dog ignored her and hummed a Bob Dylan song that had actually been written by Mr. Madero himself. It's all you're bound to fall. We still haven't gotten any royalties off that song, Lindy said, taking her eyes out of their sockets and throwing them into the kitchen like a pair of dice. She took off her pants and threw them into the kitchen, and she threw her shirt right after it. Stupid fucking dog. Barky began rolling around on the urine-soaked linoleum floor. Lindy was still griping about Dylan and royalties when she saw Mr. Madero for the first time. Oh, fuck. Hey, if it isn't her egregiousness... This dummy was cold. You two are more disgusting than SUV-driving lemmings. Lindy started hitting Chris on the back with a combination of soap, rice, and terror. Chris picked up Lindy's eyes and handed them to Mr. Madero. What does she see when a dummy has her eyes? Chris asked herself. And how come I'm proud to be a prestigiator? Septuagedarians were all over the place with no impishness and no retrogressor guns. But what does this have to do with a story about mallets and chicken salad sandwiches? Isn't this a story about how our manners are deteriorating in this modern world? Will we find a segue out of this? This story is about a diabolical dummy, Mr. Madero, and how said dummy was making a career out of pissing people off. He put on tennis shoes that didn't match, gulped down some Contra Chipotle sauce, and slipped on the linoleum. You two are more disgusting than SUV-driving lemmings, he repeated, as if someone had pulled a string on his back. What did you just say? Chris said in a voice traditionally reserved for septuagenarians. I'm going to castrate you, the dummy replied. And the dummy made a dramatic pause. And I'm probably going to talk your ear off. No, Chris cried out in anguish. But the dummy started talking rapidly. He told Chris all about the recliner he had just bought. He even growled continually at Barky, and all the poor dog could do was put his paws over his ears. The dummy pulled the terrier's paws from his ears, and Barky went howling out into the septuagenarian night.
All right.
Sound like I have a little cold here, Max.
Did you have a little cold here? Thank you.
You're welcome.